Talking with TD.
Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee!
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up term.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. Yes, yes, yes. You are now talking with TD. This is episode number 200, man. I'm excited about that, to bring you 200 episodes of Talking Shop, man. It's something we've really been striving to make happen each and every week. So appreciate you for tuning in. Obviously, this is a show that, man, didn't really want to do this early in the season. I say that. Wanted to keep going, right? And it's always fun covering the game. And obviously, we saw what happened against the Jaguars, so we'll get into that a little bit. Talk some shop with Chris Sanders as well. I want to get into looking at an off-season preview. We'll do that also. So, got a lot coming for you. Definitely appreciate you guys tuning in. Got David James over here making this thing happen.
Yes, sir.
You already know what it is. So, I guess what we'll do, let's look back at this game. And I think when you look at what the Titans did, obviously, the desired result wasn't what they left with. But I think they went in with a decent game plan. You know, honestly, Derrick Henry, defense, ball control, passing game, those were the things to do. And again, the desired result wasn't there. But I mean, when you look overall, it wasn't bad. You know, and I know there were some plays that, you know, some of us will question the hook and ladder type of play, you know, that Burks had. But I think overall they did a really good job. You know, you look at the way Downing dialed up because we've talked a lot about Chig Okonkwo, right? Him being a playmaker, finding ways to get him the football. Well, they had him as a fullback. And you had the play action, got him matched up with 23 from the Jaguars, and Josh Dobbs threw a really good ball, dropped it in the bucket, and then you saw the touchdown there. And obviously, you know, they came back with a couple field goals as well. Derrick Henry had a solid game, 30 carries. That's exactly what you would have wanted for him to have in that game, because you wanted him to carry the team. I just wish there could have been a little bit more out of the passing game in order for them to win. And when you look at it, there were a few crucial plays. You look at actually the play, right? There's one play that really made the whole difference, the 37-yard fumble return. And if you look at that, it was 3rd and 5. I understand how there were issues as far as like the protection. You know, they slid to the right, that left Rayshon Jenkins uncovered. Josh Dobbs said he did feel that coming. He wanted to get the ball out a little bit quicker. I personally wonder if it would have been a better call to go with something a little more quick hitting, right? Because there's what, 2:57, I think it was, left in the game. It was 3rd and 5. Sure, you want to get the first down. Sure. So maybe go with something a little bit more quick hitting. Or, you know what? The defense was balling. Up to that point, Jacksonville had 13 points in the game. The defense was balling. So you have to run the ball, get them to burn a timeout. They'll have the 2-minute warning and 2 timeouts left. And just say, hey, defense, you guys have been the firemen all year. We want you to be the firemen now. But we know what happened. I like Dobbs' comments about being a physics guy, and he said if the ball traveled forward 15 yards, chances are it was a forward pass. I can't disagree with that. I didn't even realize they reviewed it. Like, it was so fast, the review. What can you say? They lost the game, and Jacksonville, you know, ended up being the AFC South champions. They will host the Chargers on, I think it's Sunday or Saturday, whichever, this weekend, we'll put it that way. And the Titans instead are stuck wondering what happened. And I think, you know, that game left some things to be desired From the secondary standpoint, I feel, you know, Roger McCreary had a tough game. It wasn't the Christian Kirk touchdown wasn't all on McCreary, though. You had – so those deep, like those crossers, those long crossing routes, that's hard to cover just from one side of the field to the other. So you can't knock him but so much. But they had a deep, like a post on the opposite side, and that – for some reason, Dobbs, you know, even though that was covered well, Kalu went to, like, it did what it was supposed to do, and it occupied him, and then he was late getting over. I feel like McCreary thought that he had help over top. He kind of undercut the route, and next thing you know, it was a touchdown. Then there was a play later where it was a similar concept, except where there was kind of like a rub in there, too, and it got McCreary caught up in traffic. Zay Jones was wide open, and Trevor Lawrence overshot him. So those were a couple plays there that obviously, you know, could have been better. But at the same time, you know, 13 points. That's what they gave up to Jacksonville, 13 points. This defense, it played well for the most part all year. That's why I think a part, and we'll get into this a little bit later, a part of that offseason idea is going to be to really find ways to get the offense up to par with the defense. Now, there's going to be some changes, as we know, but the offense really has to come together. And I think when you look at overall this team, you know, there are some who are saying rebuild. I'm not so sure that a rebuild is absolutely necessary. This is a team that I think can kind of piece things back together. But at the end of the day, I mean, they're 7-10. This is the worst season under Mike Vrabel. To think that this team, you know, was 7-3 with a 93% chance to make it to the playoffs is just crazy. You know, you had the 7-game losing streak, and it was just like after that Packers game, stuff just completely went kaput. Like it went all the way down south. And obviously we know what happened with Todd Downing. And, you know, the DUI, et cetera, and the speeding, et cetera. There are some who feel that put a black eye on the team and contributed to their losses. I don't necessarily think that. I believe, you know, once they get on that field, all that exterior stuff does not matter. But that's not me excusing what Todd Downing did. That's just me saying I don't agree that that's the reason why they lost. The reason why they lost is because they couldn't protect the quarterback. The reason why they lost is because they couldn't catch the football in critical times. The reason why they lost is because a lot of times guys weren't getting open. The reason why they lost is because they couldn't protect the quarterback. Yeah, I said it again. The reason why they lost is because they always managed to find a way to have a penalty to negate a big play or put them in a 1st and 20. Get behind the chains. These are things that can't happen. You look at some of the culprits, right? Dennis Daly. I mean, I'm not trying to bag on a guy, but there's actually a video out there of Arden Key converting speed to power, and it's just like, it's not fair, man. Like, that's one of those times where you ask somebody, like, yo, where's your pride as a person? You know what I mean? But yeah, that left tackle spot was really a really big problem. You know, Nicholas Petit-Ferrer, he, you know, was a repeat offender as far as the penalties were concerned, false starts and those things. These all contributed to that offense being bad. They averaged 17 points a game. That was, I think, 28th in the NFL. They averaged 5.5 points in the second half. That's dead last in the league. Something just wasn't right. So, obviously, you know what happened. Todd Downing was fired. Keith Carter was fired. I was surprised that Coach Carter was fired because you have to look at, you lost Taylor Lewan. You lost Ben Jones. You lost Nate Davis. Aaron Brewer was hurt at times, too. Nicholas Petit-Ferrer was hurt. I mean, dang. But one of the things that Mike Vrabel stressed was protecting the quarterback better. So, you know, that falls on ultimately the offensive line coach. I get it, though. It's also quarterback's fault. You know, quarterbacks have to There are times where, you know, the guys took sacks. They didn't feel the pressure coming, or they didn't, you know, get rid of the ball fast enough. It's also receivers' fault, right? Because they weren't getting open fast enough for the quarterback to be able to get rid of the ball before one of the guys up front got obliterated. So it all, like, it goes hand in hand. But, you know, Keith Carter and Todd Downing were relieved of their duties. And then Eric Frazier, I was a little confused by that one. But, I mean, look, you know, that's their decision. And then obviously Coach Anthony Midgett, the DB coach. So it's just what happens when you have a tough year. And that's one of the things, you know, knowing how much transpired. I asked Kevin Byer, just like, man, KB, what was it that bothered you the most about this season? Because there's so much, but what really stuck out the most to you?
I mean, it's tough, man. I mean, it's going to be a really tough offseason. Obviously, knowing that a lot of guys is going to be back, a lot of questions are going to have to be answered. Nobody expects the year to end like this. I mean, there's been a lot of adversity we faced this year. I mean, we lost 7 games. Regardless of how you spin it, man, this is a very disappointing season from that aspect. So we expect more from ourselves, and that's why it's just so disappointing. It hurts a lot.
KB, there's so many frustrating things about this season. What would you say, you know, has been the most frustrating thing that you guys had to endure?
The losses. Seven losses straight. It's, you know, it's embarrassing, honestly. It's embarrassing, especially to go out that way. I mean, obviously, to still have an opportunity to get to the playoffs was really good, and it would have kind of, you know, took a little bit off of that, but it's disappointing the way we ended the year.
That's it right there. The way they ended the year, very disappointing. And it's only fitting that it ended that way, like they lost the game that way. Josh Dobbs, I think, made a case for himself to be back as the backup. Malik Willis. You know, I could see this team carrying 3 quarterbacks next year, and that's something we'll look at. But, you know, one of the other things, right, I say 3 quarterbacks because you have Ryan Tannehill who's still in the mix. And, you know, I think that they should extend him and bring him back, you know, to lower that cap number. But Tannehill got to reflect because we got to talk to him at locker room cleanup. He got to reflect a bit on the season. He said he wants to be back. He had the surgery, and he is actually going to start jogging this week. But he said he has a lot of football left on him. But here's a pretty interesting reflection on the 2022 season from your starting quarterback.
Yeah, it was tough. You know, I mean, I don't think anybody here could have ever seen it, you know, finishing the way it did. We battled through a lot as a team, found a way to win games early. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, the injuries and just not making enough plays down the stretch caught up to us. So, you know, obviously a lot's going to change, but we're proud of the guys and the fight that we showed, even though the results didn't pan out the way we all wanted them to. You know, I can look around this locker room and see a bunch of guys who gave everything they had, you know, guys who were kind of thrown into the fire like Josh, or guys who have been here, you know, on the practice squad and given an opportunity and thrown in there and given big roles. Given everything they had to find a way to and help this team win. So I'm proud of our locker room and our guys, you know, even though things didn't turn out the way we all wanted to.
And that's the thing, you know, this team used, 85 different players this year. The record's 91, which coincidentally was set by the Titans last year. You look at the list of guys on IR, man, like it was crazy. And, you know, not all of the injuries were injuries that I would say the training staff, strength and conditioning could prevent. I mean, torn ACL is torn ACL. You know what I mean? But there were a series of hamstrings and those type of things. And Mike Vrabel kind of addressed that. But I think, you know, change is going to come. We'll see what those changes are. And that's what we're going to talk about in this next segment before we go to the break. And after, rather, we go to the break and pay these bills. I want to kind of just take a look at the offseason and what that could end up being. Obviously, the first thing is the GM search. We'll get into that as well. We'll be right back. What's up, everyone? This is Teron Davenport. I want to tell you about Sarah Chevrolet Buick GMC of Nashville. They took great care of me when I got my brand new Camaro. They have hundreds of new or gently pre-owned vehicles, special discounts, and monthly incentives. They don't have any market adjustments, zero dealer ads. Save, save, save. You could go online to chat, check availability, and purchase your vehicle without ever stepping foot into the dealership. Or you could go there and see my guy, Josh Lemon. Either way, check them out at sarahnashville.com. That's S-E-R-R-A, nashville.com. And tell them TD sent you.
This is Jefferson, and I'm talking with TD.
All right, back from the break. Talking with TD. We're going to keep this conversation going. I want to look at the offseason. Hey, you heard the guy who brought us back in, Jeffrey Simmons. We're going to get into a little bit on that. Obviously, the GM search is you know, underway. They're interviewing candidates this week. This is really interesting to me, what is happening as far as the Titans and who they're interviewing. So right now they have six exterior candidates, right? Five of those are minorities. And as the names start to pile up, right? Rand Carthon, Glenn Cook, Malik Boyd, Ian Cunningham. And there's another one I'm missing. I'm going to remember it. And then you had Adam Peters come out. Adam Peters is not a minority, but, you know, you had two guys from the 49ers, one from the Browns, one from the Bears, and everybody's like, hey, man, how about the Bears? Whoa, 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 whoa. Let's pump the brakes. Because this is the guy I think would be really good just looking at his history, okay? So he came up in – so the Ravens have a club. It's a scouting club. And it's, I believe it's 3030 or 2020. I forget which one it is. But it's almost like a school of scouting that they bring guys up in. You work directly with Ozzie Newsome. Now, Ian Cunningham's story is really interesting because this is a guy who he was an undrafted free agent. He signed with the Chiefs, an offensive lineman. And they cut him. Then he got cut. He got with Al Groh, who connected him to Ozzie Newsome. And after the interview with Ozzie Newsome, now see, the Ravens, they normally, you got to spend some time before they bring you in on the scouting department. Ozzie brought him in, and he just did the grunt work, going in and rearranging the names on the board and all that stuff. And he worked his way up. And while he was there with the Ravens, he also... I learned from Joe Douglas, right? He learned from Eric DaCosta. So we're talking three pretty solid GMs, right? And so he spent his time there. Joe Douglas goes to Philadelphia, eventually brings Ian Cunningham over there too. And then that's where he got to learn from Howie Roseman. So I like the background that he has. So I think he would be a solid candidate. But, you know, all of these guys, and even, look, Monty Austin Ford and Ryan Cowden are options as well. I personally think Brian Gardner should be put in the mix. Also, he's a director of pro scouting, I believe it is. He should be put in the mix. He's one of the guys that, and I'm not saying he should get the job, but I would like for him to at least get the interview opportunity. You know what I mean? But he's one of the guys, he along with Tony Dews, the running backs coach, they sent them to the Minority Advancement Council for coaching and front office. But I think when you look at this list, you got Rand Carthon, a former, and a lot of these guys are former players too. That's one of the other things that I noticed. You got Rand Carthon with the 49ers. You know, he's someone that is spoken of very highly in the 49ers organization, former Florida Gator. He spent a cup of tea in the NFL, but worked his way up through the 49ers ranks. You got Adam Peters, not a minority, but Adam Peters is another one. Now, this is a guy that they say actually is behind a lot of the moves that the 49ers have made. While John Lynch is the face of it, they say he's kind of the brain. So, obviously, you look at what the 49ers have done, he would be somebody that would be really good. Malik Boyd from the Browns. From the Browns. Long time scout and front office person. I believe it's 24 years. Now, this is all just like off the top of my head. I don't remember the exact details, but I do remember seeing that he went to the Cardinals with Rod Graves back in the day. So, you know, there's a good tie there. Rod Graves is a well-respected executive in the league. So I think when you look at this group overall, I think it's a solid group to pull from. Whoever it is that is selected is going to have to be in collaboration with Mike Vrabel. That's what Amy Adams Strong said, you know, and I asked Coach Vrabel about that, just, you know, about the dynamic, right? Is this something that you're going to be involved in? How do you foresee this collaboration going? And here's what Coach Vrabel had to say when I asked him about that.
I think that that's the whole idea. You know, I'm comfortable that, you know, throughout this process of communication and finding the right person, you know, collaboration obviously is critical. I feel like we've, you know, put some time in here over the course of 5 years. It hasn't been perfect, but I certainly have an idea of the type of people. And I think you start with the person. You start with the person, and then you make sure that, you know, the talent and the skill set fits. But it, I think it's about people and who they are, the type of leaders they are, the type of teammates they are. I think you start there because you learned anything. You learned that this is a tough gig. It's a long gig. And the front runners may be good when things are going well, but when you have some hiccups and you have some, you know, adversity, you really need – some dudes that you know, are going to stick there and kind of do it each and every day.
Would you like that collaboration to remain as it was with the previous GM, or are you looking for that to increase as far as your involvement?
Try to bring in the best people and the best players that you possibly can.
And let me correct myself. Malik Boyd is actually, he was with the Bills. So, hey, that's even better, right? You talk about an organization that's doing it right, that's winning. Boom, there you have it right there. So it's a good list that they have. Now, whoever takes over is going to have a big-time job to do, right? So you look at the free agents, right? Let's check out what the Titans have free agency-wise pending. Okay, so you have Austin Hooper, Jeff Swaim, A.J. Moore, Lonnie Johnson, Morgan Cox. I honestly would place somewhat of a priority on bringing him back. DeMarcus Walker, that's an interesting one. Dontrell Hilliard, another. Those are three guys, Cox, Walker, Hilliard, and I'll also say Hooper. Those are guys I would look at bringing back. Lonnie Johnson is interesting. Josh Kalu also. Those are two guys that, you know, they should warrant a long thought about bringing back. Dylan Cole, very interesting player. Trenton Cannon, Terrence Mitchell, Mario Edwards, that's another one. Corey Levin, now – Taylor Lewan on his podcast, Busting with the Boys, the one with Josh Dobbs, he said he thinks Corey Levin could be a starter. So, you know, take that for what you want, but would he be the center if Ben Jones retires? Aaron Brewer be the center? We'll see. Joe Jones, you got Andrew Adams, LaRaven Clark, Deshaun Hand. I mentioned Josh Kalu. Nate Davis is a big one. That's a big one to look at. Yeah. Decision time, because that's going to be big money. Tierre Tart is a restricted free agent. Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, Cody Hollister, Aaron Brewer, those are all restricted. Dennis Daly, anybody? Nah, let me stop. And David Long. David Long is going to be an interesting one also. So Naquan Jones is a restricted free agent also. So those are some of the free agents that have to be considered. You got multiple spots to replace, right? Left tackle. You're going to have decisions to make, right? Taylor Lewan, Bud Dupree, Robert Woods. These are all guys you got to make decisions on, right? You know, are you Zach Cunningham? Probably gone, right? Bud Dupree is definitely possible. Robert Woods, maybe. Depends on how this receiver market goes. But, you know, it's going to be really interesting just – whoever takes over, there's a lot that they have to do. But the biggest fish that they have to fry, in my opinion, well, there's two. Going to have to decide what you're going to do with Ryan Tannehill. Okay? So Tannehill has a $36 million number this year. Are you going to bring him back on that? Or are you going to release him? You release him, you save around $18 million. Or are you going to extend him? because they're going to have a lot of cap space in 2024. So if you could push some of that money forward to 2024, you're kicking the can down slightly, but that's enough to kind of give you a little bit more leeway. I personally think you extend him. I know at the 11th pick, you know, some are saying, hey, move up to get C.J. Stroud, move up to get Bryce Young. It's going to take an awful lot. You remember what John Robinson got, the haul he got when you guys had the number one pick years ago, 2016, the Jared Goff trade with the Rams. Yesterday's price is not today's price. So it's going to take a little bit more. You look at what the 49ers had to give up in order to get in position to draft Trey Lance. Do you want to give up two firsts, two seconds, a third? Do you want to give up all that to move up and take one of these quarterbacks? I personally would say no. I think you rock it out. Next year, there's a guy, Caleb Williams is I think he could be the one.
Oh, yeah. He's good.
I think he could be the one. So that's a guy that I would move up and move heaven and earth to go get. Rock it out with Tannehill this year. That would be my opinion. But the other big fish is Jeffrey Simmons. Now, he played on a very low contract, $4.5 million. That man, you saw when I asked him about the adversity that he went through. You saw how he said he was shooting his ankle up for the last 9 weeks in order to be able to play. You watch him, just the way he is in practice. Jeffrey Simmons is literally the walking embodiment of what the Titans want to be. Literally. Mike Vrabel always preaches about toughness, right? Mike Vrabel always preaches about leadership. Mike Vrabel always preaches about hustling to the football. Mike Vrabel always preaches about being present in the community. Mike Vrabel always preaches about all of these things. Jeffrey Simmons, present in the community. Absolutely. He went out and he took the kids shopping at Target, you know, for Christmas. You talk about rallying to the football. Let's rewind back to the Commanders game. Terry McLaurin gets tackled 17 to 20 yards down the field by who? A frippin' defensive tackle named Jeffrey Simmons. Then the very next play, what does Jeff do? He runs from one side of the field to the other, chasing down Carson Wentz to keep him from being able to turn the corner. Then he came back the next play. Most guys, defensive linemen especially, after running down Terry McLaurin, they're tapping the helmet. Hey, I need a breather. Not Jeffrey Simmons. Rallying to the football. Toughness? Did I mention how he said he was shooting the ankle up for 9 weeks? Leadership? Who do you see in the middle of the circle? After KB speaks, who speaks? When they come, when I give you guys the videos, the pregame videos of those guys coming out, who do you see waiting for Derrick Henry to walk out together at the end? Jeffrey Simmons. He is a leader. Jeffrey Simmons absolutely has to get paid. And I don't think that they should bring him back on that fifth-year option. It's time to pay that man. As a matter of fact, I spoke to Simmons about this. Let's go ahead. And this is what he said when I asked him about coming back on that fifth-year option.
I haven't talked to no one about it yet, honestly. That's the honest opinion. I'm an honest answer. I haven't talked to no one about, especially dealing with the contract. You know, one thing I have talked to Coach T, just how much, I asked him, like, you know, what could I improve on for this next season and stuff in that nature, or, you know, how was this season different than last year? That's what we talked about. It wasn't really nothing about the contract. So, you know, like I said, when did it get to that point? I'm sure you guys will know, but. Like I said, I haven't talked to anyone about the contract just yet.
Knowing the fifth-year option has been picked up, knowing that option has been picked up, like, is it your full intention to have a deal and not play on that option next year?
I mean, I would love that. You know, as I said, I don't want to get to that fifth-year option and just, like, hey, boom, something else happened. I want to be here for a long time. I want to finish my career here. So if we can get a deal done this offseason or – I mean, I hope that's the plan on both sides, but like I said, that's my goal. I don't want to get into next year, then something happens with the contract, or you know, we get into the off season and then boom, I'm hit free agent. Like I said, I want to be here in Tennessee, and I'm sure they know that. I'm sure they know how much I love the team and love Tennessee.
So there you have it, right there. I'm sure they know how much I love Tennessee. He said, I want to be a Titan for the rest of my career. Now, granted, the last time we heard a guy who had a contract in limbo say that, you know, there were some things that went on, and for whatever reason, he's in Philly now. But I think when you look at this organization, they absolutely have to sign Jeffrey Simmons. They have to make sure that at least one mega contract has his name and the Titans on it. They have to. Why? Well, you look at the new stadium coming. You look, even just go back to this time last year. Or even just, let's go to March of last year. They did that really good feature, right? It was Simmons and A.J. Brown. And it was about how they got two cornerstones in their franchise from Mississippi. Can't lose both of them. You lost one, you can't lose both. Whoever comes in as the GM, my strong suggestion would be get that done as quick as possible. So that way you get that out of the way. You establish, hey, look, I'm the captain now, and I'm going to make sure that the guys that deserve to get taken care of get taken care of. That's an excellent tone setter for the offseason. Right there, getting Jeffrey Simmons extended. Now, what will it take? That's a different conversation. Obviously, between DeForest Buckner and Aaron Donald, those are the numbers. Now, Jeff will be 28 when it's time to sign the deal. So we'll see what happens there. But I definitely think that Simmons is someone that they got to hire, they have to sign to a long-term deal. That absolutely has to happen. But then also, you know, you look at other things, right? You got free agency, as we mentioned. A fan, actually, I forget his handle, but he had a great idea. He said, with Mike Vrabel asking for so much speed, Mecole Hardman is a guy that they should look at getting. I believe he's going to be a free agent. But that was an excellent, excellent thought there. But as we get further into draft and free agency, we'll make sure that we, you know, bring you different things there. But I wanted to just kind of get a overview and speak a little bit about the GM and the prospective GM options. So that's going to be an interesting process. This offseason is going to be crazy. But, hey, stay tuned with us. We'll keep it coming to you. We're going to go ahead and go to a break. Then we'll be right back. I think it's time for Run TMC. What's up, everybody? This is Teron Davenport here for Superbook Sports, and I want you to add this to your New Year's resolutions. Win money in 2023 with Superbook Sports. Superbook has over 3 decades of sports wagering experience in Las Vegas, so you'll get the best odds anywhere as we head into the football playoffs. Plus, check out the special odds boosts and promotions at Superbook.com. Make 2023 the year when you win money from Vegas. Download the Superbook Sports app now and place your bets. Visit Superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
Run, run, DMT. For you. Fresh.
I need those strings. Oh, that music fades. Turn down the lights. And now, starting at power forward. For your Chicago Bulls, number 53, Cliff Livingston.
And now, starring for the Houston Rockets, Ralph Sampson.
You know how he had that little afro? It looked like a microphone.
Ain't about 7'5" with a little bit of shorts on, man. Come on, man.
With the wristbands on. Yeah.
Man, what's up, big dog? Man, you still recovering from that that doggone last game?
You know, it was just the getting back in the room at like 2:40.
Yeah.
And then getting up at 5 to get to the airport.
Oh,
that,
wow.
That's what it was that I had to recover from. But, you know, we didn't have anything on Sunday, so I got to just rest and chill out for a bit. So it was all good, man. Nothing, you know, can't handle.
Cool.
I think we need to get into, obviously, look, 7-10, worst record under Mike Vrabel.
Yeah.
You know, the game ended on, like, it was decided on some foolishness. I feel that the hand was clearly going forward. The ball went 15 yards forward. Like, I'm no genius, but I've never seen a fumble just go. But, you know what, that's beside the point.
Absolutely.
We'll push that to the side. Off-season-wise, your rookie year, and the reason why I'm asking you this is because I talked to Treylon Burks on Monday at Locker Cleanup. And I was like, Trey, listen, how much is being able to train for actual football going to help you after having to train so much for combine and just like all the measurement type of things? Mm-hmm. And he lit up and was like, man, I'm going hard. I'm gonna work on this. I'm gonna make sure that you know I get my weights in and all of that. And I was just like, that's what I've been waiting for from you. Right. That dog like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
How much of a difference did that make for you?
Man, it made a difference. You know, listen, before I even got in the league, you know, everybody was telling me what I could and what I could not do and all these crazy things. So, you know, TD, I trained with a chip on my shoulder. I mean, I got to prove to people this and that. I just wanted to prove to myself that I can be one of the best receivers in this league. So on the off season, dude, I'm training maybe 2 or 3 times a day, not just training, you know, just to be running and jumping and doing stuff, but I train with a purpose. And I think with Treylon Burks, he's got to train with a purpose. What he has to do, he has to do this. I remember I think it was Rocky II when he was fighting Apollo. And his trainer said this. He said, you got to work on your weakness. And what he did is he tied his right hand behind his back and he trained left.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what Treylon Burks has to do. You can catch the ball all day. You can do all those things, but you need to find the things that's one of your weaknesses. And one of your weaknesses is at the line of scrimmage. So those are the things he's got to work on. He's got to work with an edge, but also he's got to find out his weakness and master his weakness.
Yeah, absolutely. And I asked him what the toughest thing he had to deal with as a rookie was, and he said the injuries.
Right.
So
I'm
curious, you know, how much – I told him to do yoga.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? I told him that.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, he's had a series of soft tissue stuff, right? Groin, calf, you know, that type of stuff. So maybe that'll help. But I just think, you know, when you look at this offseason overall, like, there's so much.
In
flux, right? The GM. That's going to be an interesting deal. If you were to get the GM job, like, what's the first thing you would get done?
I think the first thing I would do is just address the quarterback situation. I mean, I'm not saying to let go of Tannehill, this and that. We got to make sure we have a stable quarterback, because you can have all the pieces. You can have the offensive line. You can have all the receivers. But if your quarterback is not good, it's a recipe for disaster. And then the next thing I would do is I would sign the pillars. When I say pillars of the team, the leaders of the team. We got to get Jeffrey Simmons under contract. You know, I would sign, you know, I don't know what the contract with Tart is. I mean, he's playing ball. I mean,
he's a restricted free agent.
A restricted free agent. So you want to make sure you sign your pillars on offense and on defense and special teams, and then I start building from there.
Okay, so that's right where I wanted to go. Tannehill.
Yeah.
Trade, release, extend. He said he feels he has productive years left.
I say you extend him. I mean, because the thing about it is you look at it in the NFL, there's some guys that are better than Tannehill, but if you let Tannehill go, who are you going to bring in?
Exactly.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? Everybody wants to get rid of Tannehill. Oh, you're out of here. You're no good. Well, who else are you going to have? Because you're going to get somebody in here that's not adept to the system. And we don't know the system yet because another general manager is coming in, also another offensive coordinator. But at least have somebody that's adept to the culture that can learn. And I think that with Tannehill being in there for these years, he knows how to lead. He knows how to prepare. He knows how to do those things. So why let him go and have to start all over? It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I agree. Extend to lower that number.
Absolutely.
That's the right move. Now, next year, I said in a previous segment, hey, man, I'm Caleb Williams. I'm doing what I got to do to get him.
Hey, he a dog now from USC? Oh,
yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You ever watch one of those quarterbacks that got that it factor? Oh,
yes.
He got it.
That's him. That is him.
Oh, he got it.
That is him. But for now, Tannehill, you got him there.
Absolutely.
You mentioned Simmons. You're right there. Nate Davis. David Long.
I keep David Long. I mean, if you look at one of the bright spots on the defense before he got hurt is David Long. Because the one thing I love about him, he's not big inside. He's not big in stature. But he plays big. He's one of those players that you feel on the field.
Yes.
Have you ever noticed that wherever the ball is, he's around the ball?
5-1 is there.
Absolutely. Who made the biggest play in the Commanders game?
Yep.
When the game was on the line, who made the play?
Yep, he came in.
Okay. Let's go back to last year. When they played the Rams, who started? Who changed the momentum of the game?
Yeah, along with the pressure.
He
caught the ball.
Also.
He caught the should have scored, but yeah.
Yeah,
because Jeff had the pressure.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Yeah. But that's what I'm talking about. He's a game changer. He might not be big. He might not what everybody thinks he should be. Well, man, that joker's all around the ball. You look up, he got 14, 15 tackles in a game.
Yeah. You know what I always say about him? Because I love the way he comes up against the run or even when they blitz him. I say he reminds me of, like, you're on a freeway with, like, three or four lanes, and you're driving, and it's, like, semi-traffic, and you see that sports car just kind of weaving. The way he weaves around would-be blockers, that's what it reminds me of. I love watching him play, man. I love watching him play. So he is somebody. I think in order to bring him back, you have to release Zach Cunningham.
Right.
What do you do with Robert Woods? I'm curious about that because this is why I asked. Because Coach Vrabel said they have to get faster. Coach Vrabel said that he can't recall many times. Like, he doesn't think there's many times where they're the faster team on the field.
Right.
What do you do with Robert Woods at that number?
Okay, let me ask you a question. You're a defensive coordinator, and you're scheming against their receivers. Does Woods scare you?
No.
No. See that right there? Now, what if I said, now this is old school, Marvin Harrison.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's, yeah.
You see the difference in answers is because with Woods, he'll catch a 15-yard curl, or he'll catch a little comeback. But as in taking the top off the defense, as in, you know, making that explosive play, you just don't see it. I'm not saying he can't do it, but I think with his knee being hurt, you know, last year, I think he lost a lot of speed in that situation.
Let me ask you this, and the reason why I brought up Robert Woods is because, so if you weigh him against some of the free agent receivers, I think, if you make a move on Robert Woods, you're going to have to bring in another veteran receiver. Like, you can't have all... young receivers, first or second year receivers. So Robert Woods, if you release Robert Woods, you save $12 million, right?
Oh, that's not bad.
So when you look at free agent receivers, I'm going to give you one right off the bat. And this is one that a fan said, and I was just like, a fan sent it to me in my DMs, and I was like, you know what? This is a brilliant idea.
Yeah.
So, Mecole Hardman.
Oh, from KC?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you just made your team faster.
Right, just by signing him.
Oh, he's fast. And the one thing you can do about him, it's not about catching the post and the go routes. Look at some of the touchdowns that he makes. It's like that quick little screen, quick little flash play.
The easy
yards.
So,
get the ball. Yep, the speed sweeps and get the ball in his hands. But, yeah, I would definitely be Hardman in because he just brings – another element to the game. You got Burks on the other side that can catch those back shoulder catches and jump up and catch the ball. But when it's time to go down the field, and now you got Hardeman that can make those explosive plays downfield. Because if you look at the Titans this year, how many plays, when Burks was out, how many plays did they have explosive down the field? Not too many.
Right. To be exact, they had Burks had three, but they had four. As far as the ball going down the field,
yeah,
they had four. Now, as far as catch and run, yeah, because you had Chig, he had 3 40-yard gains, but that was all catch and runs. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But as far as the ball traveling more than 25 yards, it was those. So I'm gonna throw a couple other names at you. Let's see. Let's go. Let me see. I'm just looking.
DeAndre Hopkins.
There's not a. I mean, that's a different. That's a trade. Know. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I know.
DJ Chark. It's okay to say no.
No, I would say no.
Okay.
Because the reason why I say no is he's really inconsistent. And when I say he's inconsistent, is he'll make a big play, but then also he'll drop a couple of balls. I mean, you want to make sure. I mean, even if I'm a defensive coordinator, even though he might have speed, he still doesn't scare me. I mean, he doesn't scare me as opposed of, you know, a Hopkins or somebody that you know that you got a scheme against. I would say no.
Okay, here's one. Jacoby Myers. Now, I check his market value. The projected contract for him is 4 years, $50 million. So it's an average of 12 per year. Yeah. Jacoby Myers at 26 or Robert Woods?
I know this may sound crazy, but I would go with Woods.
Okay.
But you know why I go with Woods? Is because Woods is a Vrabel guy. Does that make sense?
I know this sounds kind of goofy,
but he's going to dig out those safeties and block every play. And I don't know about Jacoby, but with Jacoby Myers, would he do that?
I mean.
See, you know what I'm saying? Because if you don't block, you're not going to play.
And, yeah,
you know,
no,
that's
block,
the identity
no
of what Mike Vrabel wants to do. You may come in here and catch a couple of passes, but if you don't block, they're going to do like what they did to Burks and say, you know what, man, you're going to be sitting on the bench. So I don't know. They got to be a Vrabel guy. They got to be able to be a pass catcher, a route runner, you know, explosive play, but also they got to block. So they got to be a Vrabel guy.
Yeah.
So I would say, in my opinion, I'd say Woods.
Nelson Aguilar.
Oh, man. Woo.
That's my boy, by the way.
When he was at Philly.
Yeah.
I would say, yeah, because he's fast and he can do a lot of things. He can do the speed sweep, he can test the slant.
Yeah.
Yeah, he can get vertical. But see, here's what he can do also. Is he can get in the slot and run those choice routes and catch the ball and get him a go. So if it was between Woods and him, I would say him. I would say him.
So those are a few names that we ran through.
Yeah.
So nevertheless, I think when you look at this team, they have to find a way to get faster.
They have to.
And they have to bring in more playmakers. You know, I think that's the only way that this is
going impact to players.
Impact players. When you look at the draft, or let me just ask you this, right? To get back to what Vrabel said about, I've never heard him talk about the importance of getting faster like this.
Yeah.
You know, and he doubled down with it. What do you make of those comments?
I mean, basically saying that, you know, if you look at around the league, the receivers that are making plays on the perimeter, I mean, they're pretty fast. If you look at on our roster, and we can go down the roster, is Burks fast? No. I mean, he's got decent speed. Kyle Phillips? No. Woods? No. Westbrook? No. I mean, McMath? Yes. But with his inconsistency, he doesn't play fast. So when you talk about getting fast, I mean, in this league, everybody's fast, so you got to keep up with the times. And have a guy that puts a little fear in the defense to be like, okay, if I go man-to-man, I better make sure I got a safety over the top because this kid can get up and go. The Titans don't have that.
That's the problem.
They don't have it.
And that impacts everything else. Offensive line, Taylor Lewan, what do you do on him?
I respect him to the utmost. I know he went to Michigan and all that, but I wouldn't bring him back.
Yeah.
And the reason why I wouldn't bring him back is not that he can't play. It's just that you're consistently hurt. I mean, you hurt your and you and there's things that you can't control here on his knee. And but the thing about it is for you to be great in this league, you got to be available.
Yeah.
And I just think that with LaJuan, you can be a great player all you want on paper, but if you're not available to make those blocks, available on the field, available in practice, then you just become another guy. And I just think that that's the reason why you don't sign, because of the availability.
Do you – all right. Josh Dobbs, Malik Willis. Do you look at carrying three quarterbacks next year?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I wouldn't give up on Malik, because Malik has some talent. The reason why you drafted him in the third round is because you saw some potential in him.
And you traded up to get him.
Traded up to get him. So what you have to do as a coach is you got to pull that potential out and not give up on him. I understand that he has some work to do, TD. We all know he has some work to do.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes we give up so early. Look, how many games did he play in, TD?
What, four? Five games.
And how good was our offensive line?
Not good.
How many playmakers did we have on at the receiver position when Burks was out?
Very few, if any.
So how can we evaluate this kid to see if he's good or not if all the odds are against him? I get so mad. I go in the gym, oh, get rid of Malik. And I ask him, I say, why? Okay, tell me, oh, he don't know how to locate the receiver and this and that. But how can he locate the receiver when there's three defensive guys in your mustache?
Yeah. No, exactly.
Mac was the same way. And I say this in a respectful way. Malik was more advanced than Mac was when he came out.
Hmm.
But you know what Mac did? Is he learned behind Chris Chandler. He sat down and he learned. And he trusted the process, and the coaches didn't give up on him. And now, later on down the road, he was the MVP of the league.
Just on a bigger level, I want to get a draft question in here. What do you think about Quentin Johnson, TCU number one, the receiver?
The number one overall for us.
Oh, no. I mean, he went to TCU, wore number one.
Oh, no, he's a dog, man.
Titans at 11.
Hey, the reason why I would say no is because we can have two great receivers with Burks and him, but if you don't address the offensive line position, you're just going to be a guy out there. Yeah. Now, if you can get the offensive line, and then that guy, I'm not saying he's going to drop to the second round or close to the end of the round, first round, then I would draft up, trade up and go get him. That's how I would approach it.
So you're saying – offensive line, Paris Johnson Jr. at 11, then trade back into the first to go get him. Okay. I can see that.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Because if you go get a receiver, but then there's a great offensive line there, but you're still back in the same situation that we talked about last year. We don't have a guard and we don't have a tackle.
Right. And I think
so we don't want to be back in the season.
Free agency is also going to have a bearing on that. I still Absolutely. Remain – The Andre Dillard is the guy that they need to sign. Eagles, you know, he's coached well, being with Jeff Stoutland, right. Excuse me, and he has the first round pick moniker on him. Caught up in a situation where, you know, a guy just developed amazingly in Jordan Mailata, and he ended up being a backup. And
I think that's
somebody to look at.
I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I just wanted to say a good point, because you made a good point about getting those offensive line and free agency. Now, if they get those free agency guys, now I pick that receiver at 11.
Right. But address the O-line. Make sure the O-line's intact first before you get it. Yeah, and I get it. I get it. That makes sense. Well, yeah, man, I think we pretty much exhausted our time. Had a lot to run through, so I appreciate that, man. And
hey, before you get off the phone, man, it's been a great year. I love working with you, man, and I just want to say, man, hey, we're going to keep crushing this thing every year.
Absolutely. This is what we
Appreciate you, man.
It's just
– man. And you look like Sam Cassell.
You old fool. So that was Chris Sanders, Run TMC. Man, it's always good talking shop, man. I love to be able to get into it. We could have done that for like a half hour. Maybe next week we'll have to break it up into two segments. We'll see what happens there. But definitely shout out to Chris. Shout out to – David James over here making it work.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
This is what we do, man. The season's over. Episode number 200, man. We made it through 200 episodes. That's crazy. But this is what we do, man. It's just for the love of the game. And I appreciate each of you for tuning in. It's always a pleasure talking shop with you guys. You know, we talk on Twitter. We talk in person at games. Much love to each of you, the fans. Thank you for just, you know, rocking with us, man, for sure. Definitely those of you who haven't subscribed to the podcast, definitely do so. Search Talking with TD, iTunes, Google Podcasts, anywhere you get your fine listening materials. Talking with TD, rate, review. We appreciate you.